Sarasota Baptist Church website worship for this weekend of March 14th and 15th of 2020. We're taking this special precautionary way of doing things this weekend, joining other churches and institutions that are all taking special measures to help provide safety for all of our people. And of course, we emphasize personal safety measures to be practiced by all of you who are listening. And we trust that this worship method will be beneficial to our church family. We do appreciate Aaron Brownell for providing this. We do want to join in prayer with all who are praying for countries dealing with the present health crisis. Our prayers are with also our church and community people facing any health issues and those that we know of in the hospitals and nursing homes. We do want to keep these people in our prayers, but especially to mention Mike Stevens, who's under hospice care at this time, and also Jim Brashears. He was mauled by one of his cows this last Sunday afternoon. He was taken to the trauma center at Oakland Park Regional Medical Center, and he is back home. Came home Thursday afternoon, but he's really been beaten up really badly. But we're thankful he's home, and of course we will be praying for healing from his injuries. So the message we'll be sharing this weekend, the text is taken from Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, where we read, "As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, 'Follow me.' So Matthew arose and followed him." I read of a man who died, and the lawyer brought his family together for the reading of the will. And there was one family member that didn't like what was read, and so he produced another will. And the lawyer asked him where he found that copy. And the man said he found it in the man's Bible, the man who passed away. He found it between pages 111 and 112. And the lawyer said to him, "You're not telling the truth, and I can prove it." And of course, the man wondered how he could do that. And the lawyer said, "Because pages 111 and 112 are never together." And this kind of stirred my interest, and I checked a few books and found out that that's true. Pages 111, 112, the odd and even pages are never together. This does point out the fact that there are unscrupulous people in our world, and we all know that, people who take advantage of others, whether it's through lying or deceit or cheating or scamming, whatever it might be. And when you look at one person today in the Bible who was one of those kind of people, and that is Matthew, which we would not perhaps think of him in that category. But we find that indeed he was an unscrupulous tax collector. And of course, he wasn't working for the Internal Revenue like it would be today, where it's an honest type work for the good of our country, and of course under a salary. But in the day of Matthew, tax collectors were recruited by the Roman government, and they were known as turncoats because they could collect as much as they wanted to over the specified amount. And so we find here, of course, that Matthew was one of those that was looked upon as one who was unscrupulous concerning his relationship to others. We also find then, besides unscrupulous people, we find those who are untruthful. Untruthful in different ways. And what we see in the scriptures is Jesus came upon a fig tree as he was walking with his disciples. And as he came upon this fig tree, he, being hungry, thought, well, we're going to have food. It was a promise of something to eat. Now, fig trees do bear forth quite a bit of fruit, as are expected in the fall of the year. But according to what I read, also in the spring, there is also some bearing of fruit. And so Jesus expected this to be the case, that there would be some of the small edible fruit for them to eat. But according to the scriptures, he found that the fig tree was bare. And as we think about this, the fig tree being bare, we find this is the only time we know of a miracle where Jesus performed a miracle and had a message of condemning some group or judgment. And of course, the spiritual reality here that he was referring to was the scribes and the Pharisees. They kept the laws, but yet they did not have the love of God in their hearts toward others. And so we see this many times with the lives of people. I've known people who have said to me very, very clearly that they've already made a decision or going to church or they're saved, and yet there's not any bearing forth of fruit. And so we have scrupulous people, and of course today that is on the rise with credit cards and phones and our computers and all of these things that people can use to take from others. And that would be like the sermon that or the parable that Jesus gave of the Good Samaritan. The thieves that robbed a man, they were the unscrupulous in that case. And then we have the Levites, the priests that passed on the other side. They were those who were really bearing forth fruit. But then we do have the one who stopped and ministered to one who needed help. And this brings us to one then that is caring about others. Those who are unwavering, you might say, in their faith. And this brings us to Matthew 9, verse 9. We mentioned earlier that Matthew was unscrupulous as a person, but after meeting Jesus and challenged to follow him, he changed his ways. Perhaps he hadn't really been feeling good about himself. Maybe he had guilt feelings. And maybe he realized there was a better way to go in life. And so this unscrupulous tax collector, we find, turned to something that was much better. He turned to the light. He turned to the kingdom of God. And so, whether you call this a born-again experience or whatever you might call it, we find it is definitely a decision to change his way of life and to look to God. We find others in the scripture, of course. We all know people in life like this. Zacchaeus was, of course, one, a tax collector who was not liked by his fellow man and not respected. And yet, when Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I'm going to have lunch with you today." Zacchaeus changed, and it was a great change. It was very noticeable because he gave back to those from whom he had taken unfairly and gave back to them fourfold of what he had taken. And so as we think of these things, we think of what it means to really, really bear forth fruit, to really be dedicated to Christ in our lives. And I think of the Gideons, those men who have joined together. They're the group of men that pass out Bibles. They put them in motels, hotels, hospitals, schools, prisons. And by doing this, they do reach people with God's Word. But there are specifications, requirements that must be met in order to be a Gideon. First of all, you must bear forth fruit in being an active church member of some church. And you must be recommended by your pastor. And of course, a pastor would know if a person is bearing forth fruit, and certainly you would think they would be, being interested in being part of the Gideon group that wants to help spread God's word. And I then also think of a special scripture where Jesus talks about the very thing we're talking about in our message today, entitled The Vine and the Branches. We find Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, God prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you." Speaking here now of the fellowship that we have with God through Christ, sharing together as we walk with Christ through life. And so we read, as the branch cannot bear forth fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And so in this fellowship with God that we have in Christ and are bearing forth fruit, we find that by this, by the bearing forth of much fruit, our Father, our God, is glorified, and also we prove to be disciples of Jesus Christ. I also especially think of another scripture this morning as we think of the kind of crisis we're facing. I think of Mary and Martha. You may recall that how Jesus visited in their home and how Jesus was speaking to them, teaching them, and Mary was sitting at his feet listening, but Martha was very busy trying to get the lunch ready, and of course she gets upset because Mary's not helping her, and Jesus makes a point here. He says, you are so busy with these other things, but Mary has chosen that which is most important. And I think about the situation today. I think of how many people are involved in being more concerned about a lot of other things. And Jesus said that Mary had chosen that which cannot be taken from her. And how many of us would stop to think that even all of these sports events and so many other kinds of things that we depend upon, they can be taken from us, whether it's our hobbies, could be our health, could be our jobs, our monies. It's hard to believe that these things can be taken from us. But our faith, our relationship to God, that which is eternal, can never be taken from us. Even the Apostle Paul said, nothing can separate us from the love of God. So in the midst of this crisis, as we are all gathered together in prayer for each other and for the people of the world, our health people, our hospitals, and all of these people that are seeking to minister to this crisis situation, let us at least be thankful that we have something that cannot be taken from us, as we have this in Christ Jesus, who is our eternal Savior. Amen, and so bless all of you as you worship in some way during this weekend. Thank you.